B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta in the morning.
History was just made, Jamie. This has never happened before. A radio host made a mistake, and no one called him on it on social media.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's right. I said that
we need to document this.
This is so. To all you Twitter trolls, where you at?
Yeah, we're gonna troll ourselves.
Yeah, I'll troll me being an idiot. No, it's Chris Pronger was not the captain of the 2010 Stanley Cup team.
No,
it was still Mike Richards,
obviously.
And I said, thank you. Now you're trolling me from 6 feet away,
idiot. Do you watch the Flyers?
Do you even hockey? Anyway.
Guess I'll talk about best team in town.
So, whenever if somebody calls and says you should talk more, I'm just going to play the captain of the Flyers talking. That's what I'm going to do. But when I was talking, Chris Pronger wasn't the captain until after they traded away Mike Richards, mm-hmm. and then he got
that, he's
and
one of the ultimate.
What the hell?
What could have been?
What could have been? They would have won a cup. I'm convinced they would have won a cup.
Well, because that's what Chris Pronger does.
Yeah,
he wins.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure I was in the arena, and you could hear Pronger yell when he, because it was a stick to the temple area.
I know it was his eye.
It affected his vision, but I thought he got like hit in the temple or whatever it was. You heard him yell, and it was like, oh no.
The reaction to it as he's walking off the ice, if I remember it correctly, and I think I do, is like his hand under his face, like shaking his hand, and you're like, oh, this isn't good.
Yeah.
Whatever this is actually really, really bad.
That sucked.
And it turned out to be the end.
Yeah, really sad end.
But when you think about...
God, they've had a lot of concussion. Oh, yeah. I mean, between Primo, Lindros, and him, mm-hmm. that's three devastating like concussion issues.
When I think about Chris Pronger, and I know this comparison gets brought up in other sports, like I remember like, oh, Nick Foles, he's a quarterback. All he has to do is be a good point guard. Like, they're going to be a point guard,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When I think about point guards, I think of Chris Pronger because that's how he played defense. Like, it was like he was like bringing the ball up the court. He was bringing the puck up the ice, and good things were going to happen. And not just that, but he was also good at stopping the puck from going in the goal as well.
Yeah.
By the way, 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag at yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. We were supposed to talk to this gentleman yesterday. Something came up, but we got him today. His name's Devon Givens right here of 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Devon?
What's up, guys? Sorry about that.
Don't you ever apologize to us. Good to have you on today, buddy. Here's what we got going on. Here's one thing I want to see tonight. Obviously, I want to see a blowout against a hapless Wizards team. But I would like to see a little bit more of a solid rotation from Brett Brown going into this game tonight, at least in the first three quarters, given that maybe it won't be a blowout going into the fourth quarter. I just want to kind of get a sense of what Brett's actually thinking before the playoffs start. Where are you at on the rotations?
Well, I agree with you that you would like to see the rotations set a little bit better. I guess that with the way the things have been going on with the games, they're still trying to figure out the fatigue level, the basketball shape that these players are in, despite the fact that they've been in camp and some scrimmages. Still trying to really figure it out, Mark. Since the playoffs don't start for another 2 weeks, that he really doesn't have an idea. And I also think it hurts, too, not having Glenn Robinson out there, the third, because he would also be in that mix. So I would like to see a better rotation overall, better team defense in general. That's really been bothering me. When the last time I had a chance to join you guys, that was my number one thing, that I needed to see the team defense be exactly what we thought and what they told us it would be once this reseeding started and, of course, the playoffs got underway. So those afternoon against the Washington Wizards. You're right. It's a hapless team. No Bradley Beal, no Davis Bertans, and they're just throwing out regular dudes out there right now that, of course, are NBA players, but no way that the Sixers should lose to this team this afternoon.
Devon, you just brought up the defense, and obviously that's the thing that's most concerning to everybody watching. I think it's, 92 points in the fourth quarters combined of the two games. Stan Van Gundy yesterday brought up an interesting point, and I want to see if you're buying it, because if you look around the bubble right now, pretty much majority of the games are going over. You know, occasionally last night, Rockets over was like 245. That didn't go over. But a lot of these games are high scoring. Stan Van Gundy believes it's a product of the conditioning. They don't have their legs under them yet, so by the time they're getting to these fourth quarters, they're shot. And the offense is ahead of the defense in the bubble. One, do you buy that? And two, does that give you hope that the Sixers will turn this corner defensively here?
One, I do believe what Stan Van Gundy had to say. We talked about this last night, as a matter of fact, Jamie, where Van Gundy said that. And, you know, we brought it up in our conversation as well, because it makes sense. It totally does. Look at what we were talking about going in, where these soft tissue injuries and things of that nature are going in here because of the fact that this has been, wow, it has been, in terms of length, a normal offseason for these players, but it has not been, as Stan Van Gundy pointed out, a normal offseason where they've had the opportunity to go and work out in gyms, go do all the work that they do, whether it's running around whatever field that they may work, or track or city, wherever they are, to do the normal conditioning things that they need to do in the offseason to prepare for the rigors of an NBA season. So with them not having to do that, coming back into the bubble, look, guys live in apartments, they don't have access. Guys do live at homes, they may have a court, but, you know, it's just them and no one else. So the guys are going to be in different stages of where they are in terms of their conditioning. So I buy into it. Does that mean the defense? Hopefully, because one of the things that has stood out to me glaringly in these first two games, Ben Simmons has played better defense than he has in these two seeding games thus far. And I don't know what it is with him. Maybe it is the conditioning. Maybe he's just coasting until they get to the playoff rounds that start in a couple of weeks. But I do buy what Stan Van Gundy is saying a little bit, because it just seems like that's natural stuff when it comes to getting ready for a season and them not doing it the way that they're accustomed to doing it. These guys are, look, we know that they're creatures of habits, athletes, right? They have their things that they do that they're accustomed to doing, and this has thrown everyone off. So while this may not be an excuse for the 76ers when you see other things happening in a positive way for other teams, but you're right, scoring is up. Totally up. No defense. No one's playing good defense. And hopefully this thing starts to come around for them as they get ready for game number
2. All right, Devon, I got to ask you this. The night and day, as we speak with our own Devon Gibbons, the night and day of both games. So it was game one, Shake Milton, just night. Awful. Terrible. It was just very dark. And then, obviously, in the next game, totally different. He was that calm guy that we had watched before the shutdown happened. What was your reaction to Saturday night versus Monday night?
Saturday night, I just thought that at some point, he just got in his own head. Things weren't going his way. The foul trouble, then the issue with Embiid very early on, the fact that T.J. McConnell, of course, was digging in his shorts. Aaron Holiday gave him some trouble as well. And he just got out of his head. And what that was something that we had not seen from Shake Milton in quite some time. So what was important for me, Mark, was for him to bounce back after the back and forth with Joel Embiid that seemingly got him out of his game as well, settled down, had a day off. We don't know what the conversations were between the players and Milton, the coaches and Milton, but whatever it was, I wanted to see some poise from him. I wanted to see him bounce back and take some good shots, be smart about what he did. And Mark, he came out and he was 6 of 9 from the floor, I believe it was, off the top of my head, 2 of 4 from behind the 3-point line, no turnovers in 20-plus minutes. And, of course, the big shot with 6.1 seconds left on the game clock to basically clinch the game winner. And good to see it. So the night and day was, I think, the confidence. He lost it very early on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers. And on Monday, what it was, he was able to get it going early. He got it back. And it's sustained throughout the entirety of the game.
Yeah, Devon.
Don't turn the ball over. That's what he did.
Devon, I want to give you a task here, and I come to you as a steadying basketball voice in my life. I watched the NBA bubble yesterday, and, you know, your cousin plays for the Suns, so I'm sure you're very invested in those games. And I watch, you know, the game winner from Devin Booker. I watch Kawhi Leonard and Paul George just taking over, whether it's from the perimeter, whether it's getting to the rim. All these guys have a variety of options of scoring, and most of it relies on the jump shot. I got sad yesterday that the Sixers don't have that guy. Am I being overdramatic here, or is this a just lack of guard perimeter play, a glaring hole with this organization right now?
No, because I think this is something that we've talked about for years now with this basketball team, from the rebuild to when Simmons and Embiid got here and started to establish themselves. Shot makers. And
yeah. Every
team basically has a shot maker, and that's why Elton Brand went out and got Jimmy Butler and that move made there, where he was going to come in and be that type of guy, the guy you can give the ball to with some seconds left on the game clock, and drill it. Let's go home, and we walk away with this victory. And you're right, Devin Booker's shot was amazing. We, as you said, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, T.J. Warren. Even though T.J. Warren may not be a household name, he's a guy who can score in this league. And the 76ers, while Tobias Harris dropped 25 yesterday, 30 on Saturday, you hope that he can maybe evolve into that player for this team. Because for me, that's really the only one that would give me hope.
It's the only thing that comes to mind, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe with a little bit of Shake Milton, but there's not enough of a sample size outside of that 39-point performance against the Los Angeles Clippers. So it is saddening in that way. It's something that we all want to do. Reasonable at all, because some people did want him to move on. But if there was any reason why you wanted Jimmy Butler back, it was for that. And right now, the Sixers don't have. Now, I guess, guys, the only hope is that you get it done in different variety of ways. While it may be different variety of ways of shooting for those players, maybe, you know, we're hoping for Ben Simmons to put the ball on the floor and be that guy eventually. He can finish at the rim. Josh Richardson the same. And as we just mentioned, Tobias Harris, Shake Milton, and certainly Joel Embiid. So it is a glaring hole on this team. They could still win. We knew this before the season when we still projected them to be a top team in the East. They have to find ways to do it differently than what those other stars do that we know of closing games and shooting.
Mm-hmm. Devon, the last thing I'll have for you, and it's more to put a quarter in the Jamie angry machine than anything. Howell Neto.
Oh, no.
Howell Neto versus Alec Burks. What's the deal? Why are we
what's up
so,
with that?
Yeah, why is that happening? Why is that happening?
I mean, if you just follow Brett, it's more of Howell Neto is a traditional point guard. So if he's going to go that route, he's going to go a traditional point guard versus someone who's a combo. Although I don't think Shake Milton is a point guard. I think he's a combo that can make jump shots.
Yep.
And it's
yep.
a little bit different. Mm. But Jamie, if you're on the side of Alec Burks, I'm with you. Because
I very much am on that side. Yeah, I never want to see Neto again.
I think Brett Brown's the only one who's not on our side.
Yeah, I mean, but look, you see it with T.J. McConnell as well. I actually trust it's crazy to say, but I trust T.J. McConnell more than I do Howell Neto because...
Oh, absolutely.
No, not crazy at all. Maker. Not crazy.
Yeah, but when you look at the difference, too,
I think Brett's cutting your line off. I think Brett Brown's cutting your line off. We had a little disconnection right there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, man. I would go Burks. He favors Neto, but it can also go into, and Pat will tell you where... I favor Amir Johnson over Rashawn Holmes only because I trusted Amir Johnson more defensively, where maybe Brett Brown trusts Howell Neto as a point guard over Alec Burks, who may be a little bit wild as a guy who can
turnovers,
create like
yeah.
crazy, but he can turn the ball over as well.
Totally. Devon, last one for me. Tell me Furkan Korkmaz is not going to be the sixth man in the actual playoffs.
No, I don't think so.
Thank you.
Oh, thank God.
I think that was just, and look.
Foul trouble and all that, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically, if you're going to take him beat out, that means that Al Horford will come into the game. Now, if Shake Milton gets into foul trouble and he feels like he has to go with another guard, he's going to go with another guard, and that's probably your first guard off the bench, and T-Side will be a second one.
Right. Devon, I really appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks again, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, man.
All right.
See you, Devon.
Appreciate it. I swear that was Brett. I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was in and out.
Well, he controls
bad.
The 5G towers. That Brett.
Like he controls them like he controls his rotations.
Yeah.
Which isn't good. No.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.